scripture text today is the 121st Psalm. I'm going to be reading it from kind of a different translation. It's the Everyday Bible, the New Century Version. And so it may sound a little different than what you're used to hearing. So here it is. I look up to the hills, but where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not let you be defeated. He who guards you never sleeps. He who guards Israel never rests or sleeps. The Lord guards you. The Lord protects you as the shade protects you from the sun. The sun cannot hurt you during the day, and the moon cannot hurt you by night. The Lord will guard you from all dangers. He will guard your life. The Lord will guard you as you come and go, both now and forever. God's word for God's people. Amen. This morning, saints of God, I want to preach on the subject, Lord, help. Lord, help. I have an app on my phone that gives me up-to-date breaking news. Often when I scroll down to read it or watch the video that's linked to it, my jaw drops and I'm forced to utter the short prayer, Lord, help.
Amen.
You see, if the news outlets of the world had a monopoly on telling the story, we would have no choice but to see the world as only a dangerous evil place. I mean, apparently, some folk believe that it's hunting season on peaceful protesters, whether they are here legally or illegally. Apparently, oppressing the poor by taking away benefits is in vogue, and common courtesy, basic decency, and good old general home training has become a thing of the past. Folk in power are taking advantage of that power. And folk with little power have turned to improvised explosive devices to make the powers that be nervous. Instead of things getting better, it seems like things are getting worse. We turn to our elected officials, but high-paid lobbyists have got their attention. We turn to our friends and loved ones, but they're busy dealing with their own stuff to help us out.
Yeah.
Oh, then we turn to the church, but the church seems to be more concerned with paying the budget than with saving souls. Beloved, in the midst of all the bad news, is there any good news? Is there any help in these times? Well, I stopped by here today to let you know that yes, we do indeed have help. Church, our help is not just on the way, our help is here. If you want to know where that help is, you don't have to look any further. I'm not sure who the world turns to when they need help, but our help is in the Lord, and it's okay to call on Him whenever we need help. Our cry ought to be, Lord, please help. Let me give you some background here. Except for the 23rd Psalm, Psalm 121 is probably recited from memory as often as any other time, any other in the Psalter, when people of faith reach for words of assurance amid the trials and turmoils of their life's journey. Psalm 121 affirms that the sovereign ruler of the cosmos has a personal concern for the lives of all God's people. Psalm 121, an eloquent profession of faith in God's providence and protection, is the second of 15 psalms that bear the title A Psalm of Ascents. Scholars tell us that this collection was originally used by pilgrims on their way to Jerusalem or as part of a festival celebration in Jerusalem. The noun translated ascent is from a Hebrew root meaning to go up. As Psalm 122 verse 4 points out, it was decreed that the tribes go up regularly to Jerusalem. The word keep or guard occurs six times in Psalm 121. The pervasiveness of this key word matches the pervasiveness of God's protecting presence and help. It's a good thing because as we look back on the last year and forward to what's next, we must recognize at least three things. Here's the first thing. If you're following your bulletin, we need help. We need help. The writer of Psalm 121 begins with a question that we've all asked. Now, for just a moment, I'm talking to the honest people in here. I'm not talking to the people who have fooled themselves into thinking that they've got it going on so much that they don't need anybody else's help. I'm not talking to the people who've convinced themselves that in the hour of their most desperate need, that their good looks will get them out of it. That their zip code can get them past the difficult days, or that their tax bracket is enough to shield them from death, destruction, or divorce, or that their voting record will save them from hurricanes, high water, or hailstorms. No, I'm talking to the people who, in spite of our degrees, in spite of the money we have in the bank, in spite of the material possessions we have, as together as we appear to be, realize that we too need help. Amen. Now, church, permit me to take you to class for just a minute. Oftentimes when we read or recite this verse, we neither pause at the comma nor read it as a question. I grew up reading it like this. I will lift up my eyes to the hills from whence cometh my help. All run together with no pause and no question. Reading it like that, we might come away thinking that the help comes from the hills. However, I've learned that Psalm 121:1 is better rendered as a question that's answered in verse number 2. In our text today, the psalmist sees danger and knows he needs a helper. The psalmist looks beyond the hills to the universe, beyond the universe to the maker, and concludes there is help. Living help, personal help, primary help, wise and immeasurable help. And I'm glad about it. Once we see through the world's lies and vanity, we have no other intelligent choice but come to God. Psalm 121 brings us to the one and only true and living God, who is the maker of heaven and earth. People of God, if we're honest with ourselves and God, we have to conclude, just like the psalmist did, we need help. Do you think that we came all these years without some help? Do you think we survived and thrived through all these years without some help? Do you think that we've come through slavery, the Depression, two world wars, the civil rights movement of the 60s, illegal tariffs, and threats of more to come without some help? Amen. truly, there have been hurdles in the past. There are hurdles in our present, and there'll be hurdles in our tomorrows. But I stopped by here today on my way to LA to let you know that there's nothing wrong with coming to our senses and realizing that we too need help. The second thing is our help is God. Our help is God. After posing the question in verse 1, the psalmist immediately answers the question in verse 2 by stating boldly, "My help comes from the Lord." Isn't that good news, y'all? The most encouraging thing to me is the fact that my keeper is so personal. It is so intimate with me. Notice that every time the psalmist lists a possessive pronoun, he puts it in the singular. He says, "My help, your keeper." In other words, he's your keeper and he's my keeper. Once we come to God, we quickly discover that God has quickening power. God has keeping power. God, being our helper, won't allow us to slip, the psalmist continues, or fall back into the world. Even if we try to return to the world, God will say, "No, I'm keeping you." God, being our helper, won't allow us to be overtaken by the world. God, being our helper, won't allow us to be defeated. Now, before you stick your chest out and walk boldly out of here and pick a fight with the biggest, baddest, ugliest person you see, let me remind you that God's not keeping you because of you. Beloved, it's bigger than you.
Amen.
What do I mean? I mean that God is not keeping a person. He's keeping a testimony. God is not keeping us for our own sake. God is keeping us for his testimony's sake. When you woke up this morning to a day that you've never seen before, I hope you think it didn't happen because your home security system subscription had not lapsed. When you could rise from your, well, or roll out from or scoot to the edge of your bed this morning, I hope you didn't think it was just because you went to bed early enough to get a full night's sleep. Oh, when you clicked the light switch on your way into the bathroom this morning and the light came on, I hope you didn't think it was just because you were able to pay the bill this month. No, it wasn't for any of that. It was so you could, like the Israelites noted in our text again, show and tell the folks you come in contact with, "Look where he brought me from." I didn't get it back in the day. I didn't get it back in the day, Sister Smart, but I get it now. What the seasoned saints meant when they sang, "He brought me out of darkness into the marvelous light. Look where he brought me from." The Lord has kept us one more day so that we could tell our testimony once more and again. Now, the wonderful thing about God's help and God's keeping is that it's not like being kept or helped by the world. Sometimes the world's help ain't helpful. Sometimes the world's help can get us into bigger trouble and we need more help. The world's help will often leave us more and more dependent upon the world, and we'll think that we can be less and less dependent on God. And what's worse, the world's help is often unreliable. But the psalmist writes of our Lord, "He who keeps Israel never rests nor sleeps." That means that the Lord is always attentive. He cares for us 24 hours a day. When you understand that, you're free to venture forth by faith. Well, last of all, for God to help, we must call on Him.
Amen.
For God to help, we must call on Him. If you've ever watched a professional tag team wrestling match, you know that the partner outside the ring can only jump in the ring when the partner inside the ring reaches out and tags them. Those are the rules, amen? It's similar to the way it is with us and God. When our opponent is getting the best of us, all we have to do is reach out to God and He'll jump in and finish off our opponent. We do this, amen, we do this by calling out to Him. And when we come to Him, when we cry out to Him, what happens? Well, I'm glad to report to you that, praise the Lord, God keeps us. He secures us. I'm glad to report to you that He doesn't ignore us. He doesn't fall asleep at the wheel. He doesn't pretend He doesn't hear us or see us. He jumps in the ring and keeps us from losing the fight. Verse 5 notes that God is on our right hand. In the Bible, the right hand is the place of exalting. To have the Lord on our right hand means that we exalt Him. We're saying, now you really are my Lord. When we exalt the Lord and give Him the highest place, He becomes the shade at our right hand. He becomes our rest. Not only are we kept by Him, but God gives us grace. God gives us mercy, comfort, and strength. Our whole life becomes one of enjoyment because we have exalted Him. So there's no confusion. We exalt the Lord by calling on Him. We exalt the Lord by paying attention when He's around, which is always. We exalt the Lord by making Him number one in our lives.
Amen.
Yeah, I know that God can anticipate our thoughts before they enter our minds. I know that God knows our hearts and intentions, but I also know that it pleases our God when He hears us calling out to Him, acknowledging Him publicly and privately.
Yes, yes.
The problem is, somewhere down through the years, some folk forgot that we're supposed to be calling out to Him. Somewhere down through the years, some folk forgot that if we lift Him up, then God can and will shade and shield us from the harmful attacks of the enemy. Somewhere down through the years, some folk forgot that if we lift Him up, the world will be able to see Him and not just us. Somewhere down through the years, some folk forgot that if we lift Him up, our social media friends and folk we run into on a regular basis will be able to see the glory of the Lord. Somewhere down through the years, some folk forgot that if we lift Him up, then our families will be able to see God's glory. Oh, beloved, somewhere down through the years, some folk forgot that if we lift Him up, then maybe those who need to see God will see God through us.
Amen.
Church, how do we face dangers and insecurities? Are we so paralyzed with fear that we can't even begin our journey? I encourage us all today to look at our Creator, who longs to be our personal protector, our heavenly helper. We ought not be plagued by insecurities because we have a helper. We ought not opt for the world's solutions, for we have a helper. We ought not carry so much excess baggage as to feel hindered or impeded in our walk because we have a helper. We've been given the assurance in the 8th verse, which says assurance of perseverance, assurance of preservation, as in times past, now, and forever it shall be. Verse 8 makes it clear that it's a real journey. Ah, it's a real journey of life. No place, no time, no circumstance will be able to separate the psalmist from God's loving care.
Amen.
Beloved, isn't it good to know that when we need help, we have a helper? Isn't it good to know that when we're facing uncertainties, our helper is certain? Isn't it good to know that even though we don't know what tomorrow holds, we know who holds tomorrow? I'm glad today that the Lord gives us all the protection we need to keep us for His testimony. I'm glad today that I've been kept long enough to tell you what He's done for me, what He's doing, and rejoice in what He's about to do. I'm glad today that this protection is available, as verse 8 says, from now until forever. I can rejoice today because it's obvious. It's available right now, and it goes on forever. I don't know what makes me want to shout more. The fact that it starts right now, or that it runs on, not to the end of time, but without end. That means God's protection, God's keeping, God's help will still be available when my daughter's great-great-great-grandchild is in the midst of trouble and they can't remember the words of some fancy prayer penned by some credentialed theologian hundreds of years before. They can simply throw their head back and with all they can muster in the moment say, "Lord, help," and He'll come to their rescue. The same is true for us today.
Yes.
All we have to do is just call Him.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And amen.